Something's going on weird with my computer today. It's not working the way it's supposed to. Let me see if I can get this up. When the song ended at the right time. I don't know why one window is... My computer's lagging. I'm not sure why. Anyway, my name is Steve Oatley. This is called Late Night Freight. It is the only talk show where we just talk about whatever the hell we want late at night, usually freight related. Today I'm going to... I can't tell. Is this lagging on your end? Because on my video side, it's lagging pretty bad and it's annoying the hell out of me. But it's going good on my end or the day. Someone said, how am I doing tonight? I'm doing well. I decided to make a late video, namely because I like to watch live PD when it's on like an hour delay. So I figured, hey, what the hell? I'll make a quick video and then go from there. Yeah, my computer. Really, I wanted to show this video from our buddy there, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to because it looks like my computer is being laggy on my end. Let me see here if this is going to work. So this is the newest video from Rick Santiago. If anyone doesn't know who Rick Santiago is, well, you're not missing much. But I'll play this video here in a second. Let me put it down. It's kind of funny because he's just pumping out new content every single day, it seems, right? He's just like a lot of these YouTubers who are pumping out information all the time. I'll give a little background. So as you guys know, there's been this cheap freight battle going on. So it's cheap freight, broker bashing, all this stuff. I don't know. The conversation is kind of silly, to be honest. But... I get it. People don't have anyone else to blame, so they're just blaming on the rain, right? I'm losing my focus here on what I was going to talk about. Let me just play this video, and then we'll go from there, just so you guys could see this, because I think some people said they didn't get a chance to watch it. You guys should be able to hear it.
It's Rick, and I'm going to try to make this really quick because. I'm tired. I need to rest. I'm looking a little rugged. Anyway, just real quick. So as we all saw, President Trump verbally admitted clearly across America that we were being price gouged. Okay. The head of the TIA or the TIA released a statement saying that is not true. We're not being price gouged. I'm going to show you guys that is absolutely is defending these brokers companies based on lies. I have an actual Raycom from Total Quality Logistics. Okay. Not going to give you the PO, but I will say that.
All right. First off, if anyone's ever booked a load before with TQL, that's not a Raycom. That's a carrier information sheet, and it doesn't even have a rate on it. But next.
Heather was the broker behind this. Along with that, I also have the actual POD, the rate that they paid TQL. Follow with me real quick, okay? The load picked up from Versailles, Ohio to Rochester, New York. That's 476 miles. It's about an eight-hour drive. The load paid the carrier $1,000. That's $210 a mile. A lot of you would be okay with $210 a mile. Looking further, it is right here on the sheet right here. TQL will be the carrier at a quote of $2,320. What that means is they kept 57% of the load and paid the carrier 43%. Now, let's just say we wanted TQL and all these other brokerage companies regulated. Let's just come up with a number.
Here, hold on. This dude right here. I don't need proof of price gouging. I know people are price gouging. I've seen it before. But this isn't price gouging. What he's describing, I'll explain it after. This is not price gouging. Trucker Tom, I'll address that in a minute.
Number at 16%. At 16%, TQL from 2320, their code would be $371.20, leaving the carrier $1,949. That per mile is $4.87 a mile. So for the TIA to come out and clearly say that they're not price gouging, I think you and I both know they are.
Well, and again, just a correction here. The TIA cannot price gouge. They are an association. But let me let this video run out.
Lying.
And they're not lying.
don't touch a single load from TQL. Jesus, I keep doing that. The Trump hand. Don't touch a single load from TQL. I'd rather do the Obama hand, but don't.
Anyway.
Don't touch a single load from TQL. They are clearly, clearly price gouging. The more we dig, the more we expose. Just remember that. Take care.
All right. So this was his most recent video. This is one that some people have sent me. And there's a couple of things. One, the piece of paper that he held up first is not a rate confirmation. It's not a rate confirmation. It's a carrier information sheet. For anyone who's ever booked a load with TQL, first they send you a rate confirmation that doesn't have any pickup and delivery information, and then they send you a customer pickup and delivery information sheet. So it has separate things. It has a separate information, and I may be wrong, but I do not believe it has the rate on the carrier information sheet. Could be wrong on that, but I'm very certain. It's been a while since I booked a TQL load because I haven't had my trucking company for over a year and a half. But the reason why I wanted to play the video, because it shows the disconnect between education and actual industry. He's using that as an example of price gouging. Price gouging, based on the definition that everyone's trying to set, that does not meet price gouging guidelines. That means that a TQL broker was able to make a commission. That's it. You know, they were able to make a commission. And because the carrier accepted a load for $210 and the broker sold it for more money, but that's not price gouging. And by definition, that's a broker that was able to get a big salary or a big commission from it. But again, the videos are based in fact, right? That's what he always tries to say. It's all facts. It's all facts. It's all facts. Unfortunately, that's not a rate confirmation. And all you guys in the chat are confirming that. That's driver instructions, which do not have the rate on there. So for all I know, this is just like the Trinity video. This is probably just like the previous LTL or the previous TQL commercial made up. You know, it doesn't make any sense. I don't understand the purpose of putting this out there. What does this do? This kind of works against his narrative that everyone's price gouging. If this is a recent load, that is not price gouging. That is someone paying well above market rates. If a carrier is happy with $2 a mile, who cares? Who cares? Pers Mall said, is getting 54% commission where the carrier has to bear most of the cost ethical? It's business. That's what it is. There's nowhere does it say if the carrier asked for $4 a mile, guess what? He probably could have got it too, because the broker had the money in it. But unfortunately, the carrier probably thought he was getting he was probably super excited about it because he was getting over $2 a mile. If that's even a current load, that's probably an old load before virus. But if a carrier got $2 a mile on the load that was going that far, 500 whatever miles it was, think about that. That means that the carrier was getting well over the market rate. He's getting well over the complaining rate that all these guys are complaining about getting a dollar a mile. You know, it's just something. And again, this shows the disconnect between him and reality, because this is not – it's not the right – I mean, if you're going to make a video and you're going to try to critique something and be like, ooh, ooh, ooh. Keith is saying big effing deal if it's a Raycon. Well, it is a big effing deal because now we don't know how much the carrier actually got paid. You understand that? Because he didn't hold up a Raycon. He held a carrier information sheet, which does not have a rate on it. So it's just like the Trinity video where he made up all the shit, and it's probably just like a lot of the other videos. It's made up. I don't get it. I don't get why people are still blindly following this cat. I really don't. And then he says the Obama thing. That pissed me off. You know? T.O. Esteban said, yo, Steve, let's see one-on-one. I don't know what you mean by that. But Josh Markin said, it's what? I made a decent rate, but the broker made more money, and we can't have that. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. Keith Danko on Facebook said, well, apparently he does have it on that, or he wouldn't know. Well, I mean, it just could be like that whole broker pretending that they were getting 65%. That wasn't an employee. That was a made-up call. He said it in my video. You know, but everyone's just blindly following. I get it. Freight is cheap as now. Are there brokers that are price gouging? Absolutely. That is not a good definition of price gouging. That's not. That's a broker maybe being greedy is what you could kind of say, but it's not price gouging. You know, it doesn't make any sense. It really doesn't. And then he made a video earlier today, and I wish I had that one queued up. He made a video earlier today where he said he was talking – I don't know what – he's talking about all the legal stuff he's doing and all the law stuff he's learning and all this stuff about, 373.1 or 371.1, all these regs that most people that have worked in the industry for a little while know. Yeah, most people that work in the industry understand that you are that you are signing away your rights to review paperwork if you've ever read an agreement. Most people understand these things. You know, people that have been in the industry for a while, it's clear and evident to me that he doesn't really have a concrete education in trucking. Tito Jr. said, "Yo, Steve, I understand your perspective, but whose side are you in? Seems to me like the broker side than the carrier. Why, for example, if it's a Raycon or not, who the F cares? At least we have someone trying to change the industry and bash the guy." Here's the truth. I care about integrity, bro. You know, I stand with truckers, but this whole argument about rate transparency and all that is bullshit. I stand with whoever stands with common sense is who I stand with. You know, the whole DC protest and all that wasn't built on the premise of doing what he's doing now. It wasn't built on the premise of lying and making shit up to try to get a point across. It wasn't. And I know people get pissed off because I say that, and then people get pissed off because I don't come hard enough at them. You know, it just doesn't make any sense. Chris Brown said any broker thinks they should make more than a truck off a load is the problem. He didn't make more than a truck. Well, I mean, based on his numbers, you know, and maybe tomorrow he'll put out and say, well, this is the actual Raycon. But he didn't put that out. He put a blind carrier sheet, which doesn't have a Raycon on it. You know, it doesn't make sense. I can't get behind. I agree. There's brokers out here that are taking advantage of the situation. You know, but for people to put out fake shit and then try to pass that off as truth, it pisses me off, dude. It pisses me off. Hell, I drove 1,200 miles to tell him it pisses me off. Don't like it. If you have I don't know, bro. I don't know. And Ryan Hack said, how do you hold people accountable without transparency? I'm not against transparency. I'll let me make that straight. Yes, you heard it first. I am a freight broker that is fully fine with opening my books or and suggest that other brokers do it as well. Because ultimately, there is no price gouging in this industry because carriers set their own rates. They set the rate that is accepted. It's not like they're under contract rates to run for a dollar a mile. So I have no problem opening my books. If someone wants to see how much I make, then they could see how much I make because it's not as much as everyone thinks it is. It's certainly not 54 or 65 or whatever the hell he says it is. And then when he says that the TIA is lying, you have to understand common sense. You know what the law of averages is? We have average. They said in their press release and in their comments and all the articles that were mentioned with the TIA, they said the average is 16%. I can honestly say the average is probably 16% because more often than not, you're taking low loads or low profit margins. Every now and then as a broker, you get lucky and you make one with 20 or 30%, but typically they're right around 10 or less percent. It's not a lot. It just doesn't make any sense to me. Tito Jr. said, I'm a follower. I ain't trolling you. You're right in a lot of things and I respect you, brother, but look on the bright side. At least we see in some hope. You know what I mean? Yeah, Rick is a goofball. We all know that, but I do understand you. All right. Yeah, what is mind-boggling to me is that people blindly follow him. Because anyone see the video that he made earlier today? He's sitting in his kitchen, and he's got his loaf of Wonder Bread, which I like. I like white Wonder Bread, the fake bread. And I'm not joking. I'm not knocking it. I like Wonder Bread. My wife hates it and hates that I like it. Anyway. That's the one thing I noticed from this video that had any importance because otherwise he had a bunch of Raycons, he had a bunch of shit, which is so mind-blowing to me that people are actually sending him Raycons. You know what I mean? It's mind-blowing to me is that people are actually saying, okay, let's trust this guy who's just not really that trustworthy. Let's send him all this all these paperwork and all this stuff and then try to I don't know. So he can do what? So they can try. I mean, that's the thing is they, you know, him and the other people all tried to put together this big investigation into brokers. And they made a huge stink about broker rates and broker price gouging and this and that. And they brought it in front of the Department of Justice. And you know what they said? Well, you can't really open an investigation without any honest claims. We can't open an investigation because you have no evidence of anything happening. Probably what they said is this doesn't meet the definition of price gouging, but maybe if you get some more information, maybe we could find, you know, maybe we'll look at it again. And so now they're on this massive quest to get as much, you know, proprietary documents as you can. Any carrier who sends them the information is an idiot, unless you're blacking out all your personal information. Because people like this that have said that, yes, I mean, you're looking to have your company identity theft stolen. They have your MC number on it. Sometimes they have tax ID. They have your phone number. They got the driver's name, all the customer information. You guys have heard of freight theft, right? And carriers misrepresenting that there are other carriers. You know who does that the most? And this is gonna blow your mind. You know who does that the most and steals other carriers' identity to commit fraud and things like that? People that have a track record of not running successful companies. People that have to get new DOT numbers after they have their DOT numbers revoked from bad TSA scores. Do you know who on video said that he has done that a few times? Had to set up new DOT numbers after he has horrible TSA scores? It's your Lord and Savior, Rick Santiago. So keep that in mind, all the people that just look to this guy for whatever the hell they're looking for. You know, it's just mind-blowing that people blindly follow him. And then he makes a video this morning, and he's in there, and he's doing all the legal stuff, and he's showing all the stacks of paper and all the rate cons that people sent him and all the shippers and receivers information that now he has, including all the carrier information, all the carriers' information that were so stupid to send him the information. He's got all that and all the rate cons or all the broker carrier contracts, and he's sitting there. And then he's talking about how, you know, he's worried. He does pre-trip inspections on starting his car and this and that. And that he doesn't need anyone to pay an attorney now, but he's going to need everyone to pay for an attorney later. He said it in his video. It's crazy. I don't understand it. We got a caller. Let's see how this goes. 818, you're on the line. What's up, buddy? You there? You're on the line.
Yo.
All right. Yeah, what's up, man? You're on air, live.
Hey, so what's going on? So let me say this. So let's say the market flipped in favor of the drivers.
Yeah.
Are they going to say, like, they're paying me too much? You know what I mean?
No, they didn't do it in 2018. You didn't hear drivers saying, oh, you know what? We're making too much money. Let's give money back.
They're going to juice it. You know what I mean? So you know, it goes both ways, but at the same time, you know, there's some dirty people out there making like $1,000 off a load now. It's like people know about that. Would they care? I don't know. Like,
yeah.
I'm for both people. I want everyone to make money and be happy. But at the same time, it's, you know, the supply and demand. Let everything open up. Once everything opens up, everything's safe. Everything's going to go back to normal. And I think the rates are even going to be higher.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, in all reality, I'm not going to say that there aren't brokers out there that are because here's the thing.
I'm not saying everyone is. There's people out there making $100, $50, $200, but there's some, like, you know, some dirty people out there. I'm not going to say names, and like I don't know people. I haven't seen like paperwork. I'm not going to ask the broker, or I'm not going to ask a customer or anyone like, hey, how much are you getting it for? You don't say that, but you know what I mean, like. There's some people out there making $100, but there's some people out there making $1,000. Now, is that right? I don't know. Now, is someone going to do something about it? I don't think so. You know what I mean?
No, because it's a free market, unfortunately. Yes, there are people that are definitely getting taken advantage of now. There are people that are
– You guys, everyone involved, you don't want the government getting more involved as it is. Like, you don't want that, man.
Yeah.
What, do you want to have, like, a flat rate? Like, the rates never go up, never go down? Come on, man. Like, if you want that, then you just can get, I don't know, $1.50 just everywhere forever. Do you want that? Do you want them to put a rate?
Yeah.
Like, you don't want that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's crazy. Thank you for calling in, bud.
You know what I mean?
I do. Yeah, it's crazy. Thank you for calling in. The whole thing is nuts. And you know what? Rick has answered my messages before, so I am going to do that. I'm going to say, listen, I'm live right now and we're talking about you. Come on the air and see. He won't. I can almost guarantee you. I'd give it. That's some major balls right there if he does come on the air. But we'll see. Let me send him a message. Got him on Facebook. I guarantee he won't. Hold on one second. Anyway, it's just a silly argument. People complain about everything. And I'm trying to see what the benefit is for him to do everything he's doing right now. You know what I mean? I'm trying to see what the benefit to do everything he's doing. Like, what is the real end game? You know? Keith Danko said, yeah, I think it's bullshit that you're talking about someone and not allowing them the opportunity to defend themselves. That's real chicken shit. Didn't you just hear what I just said? I sent him a message. He's welcome to call in. You know, and like people said, see? And you guys could see this. So you all know. That's him typing a message right now. He's not going to come on the air. See? I think I'll pass, but thanks. See, that's him, Rick. So nobody could say that I didn't give him a chance, because I did. And I said I'm on the air, and he just said, no, he doesn't want to come on. You know, so I got so much flack for taking it easy for him or on him in D.C. I got so much flack. So many people on YouTube were all like, oh, Steve didn't, like go out there and say stuff. Well, that's what the late night show is for. That's where I can get a little bit more unwound. You know, I'm not, but you know, plugging sponsors the whole show. I would like to hear what the end game is. I would like to hear what he's trying to do, what the goal is. I really would, in a very sincere way. That's what I would like to find out. Because who knows? Maybe he has a plan. Maybe he actually does have an end game in sight. Maybe it was an oversight. Maybe he had the Raycon, but he actually accidentally held up something else instead. He held up the driver instructions. You know what I mean? Maybe he does have a whole stack, and he can now prove that every single broker in the world is price gouging. Not really, because that's not true. But you know, that the majority of them are, and that are meeting by the definition of price gouging. I just don't understand it, and that's what I'm missing. That's what I'm missing the point. Chris Brown on Facebook said, if they can't afford to put fuel in the truck, what makes you think they can pay for a breakdown? I think you're talking to other people, and I can't see that in this one. Mike Lyle said he did a good job getting his message across. He has no plan. You're right, Steve. And I don't fault him for getting. He got his message across, like you said. He got it with zero integrity. And if you ask me, because the videos and stuff that he made were not real. And so to me, that shows a very big lack of integrity. You know, and I'm not trying to pick on him or anything like that. I'm trying to be real. You know. Josh Markin said, you don't even want to hear my take on anything happening in D.C. right now. I know that the impression right now that's going on in D.C. isn't that good. It's not. It's not going that well. You know, for the people in D.C., they're having some personnel changes and it's going back and forth. You know, but I gave him the chance. And that's for everyone. Yeah, see, I apologize. Normally I try to have the Facebook stream up separate so I could see if you guys are talking to each other. But for some reason, my computer's being laggy. I got a bunch of calls. So T.O. Estevan said, was the TQL video fake? The first one, I have no idea. I really don't. But because the second one and because of this video and because of some of the other things he said in other videos, it seriously makes me question the authenticity of some of these videos. Do I understand his message? Yeah, there are brokers that are being shady. And can carriers run at a dollar a mile? No. Can you imagine? Would it have the same Curtis Baker said, Steve, tell everyone about your domestic violence charges. Do you understand that I'm a licensed EMT and have a concealed carry permit in the state of Florida, which you're required to have FBI fingerprint checks for? So good luck with that. That's what I said. You know, there's a whole pile of people that tried to do that that goofy ass shit. You know, come at me, dog. If you want to, Curtis, because I'm a hell of a researcher. You probably don't want to. It's probably not that smart. People are dumb, bro. All right, let's. If you're on hold, please press the number 1 button so I know that you're ready to talk. Persmall said, eliminate Eliminate shady brokers, 30% up front, or FU carriers need to have capital hall freight. Well, that's what factoring is and all that stuff. That's what factoring is for if you don't have capital. You should have capital so you don't need 30% up front. You know, that's, I mean, do you think brokers don't get paid 30% up front? I mean, that's not the way it works. That's not the way the industry works. You know? Hold on. We got a call. 337, you're on live. What's up, man?
Yes, sir. I had hauled a load for TQL a while back,
yeah.
And they had, you know, we'd gone back and forth on the price. It was about 600 miles, four stops. It was a nursery load. And they called me up and wanted me to do for $2 a mile. And I said, no. I said, three. Well, of course, around 3 o'clock, they called me and said, yeah, we'll give you $3 for it. You know, it was so they could confirm it for the next day. I got the load, and just so happened the nursery that I picked up from had the freight rates on the bills.
Yeah.
And they were making about $6 a mile.
Right.
And
how much? And you were getting three. Right. And you were getting $3
getting
a mile.
Three,
and you said, yeah,
to give it to me. They
right.
They were trying to give it to me for two. So, you know.
Okay.
Right.
And you didn't
my
take
guns
it.
And got
right.
$3.
Right.
No,
right.
I didn't take the two, but I took the three.
I mean, and
you
so you took the load. I mean, here's the thing,
yeah,
is if you held out for more, you probably would have got more money. I mean, that's like me saying, well, your operating cost isn't $3 a mile, so I'm not paying you more than the, you know, the operating cost of a truck. According to Attree, the operating cost is $1.82. That's why
right,
I mean,
you know, but at the time, $3 a mile was good for what the rate was, you know, but the bill showed they were making $6 a mile, so they made 50% on the load.
Right. I mean, again, what does that have to do with this? You got the amount of money you wanted. You got what you quoted, right?
Oh, I did. I did. But I you know, I did the load. I delivered it. I was satisfied with it in the story, you know. But the bill showed they were making $6 a mile. So I learned a lesson. Next time, I'll ask for more, you know. But
right.
It's just,
well, yeah, I get that, you know, because now you know there's more money in it. But the thing that people have to realize is that, yeah, for every load that they're making, you know, a huge profit on, there's other loads that they're making four or five or, you know, a smaller percentage, even taking a loss. And I'm not saying that justifies making a huge commission, because I've never made, you know, 50%. Well, you said that was not. That was 100% commission. I've never made – well, yes, I take that back. On LTL loads, to like YRC and all that stuff, yeah, I've made, you know, 100, 150% commission on that, because you're talking about a $100 load. You know, LTL doesn't it's not common carrier stuff that's going on like YRC. But to me, I don't understand the argument. I understand it right now because we have cheap freight, we have everything. And so if a broker is making that kind of profit margins when you guys are basically losing your ass every day, I understand it. But when we're talking about good times and when rates are good, or if you get $3 a mile right now and the broker makes $3 a mile, who cares? Because you're the one that got the $3. You're the one who accepted the load. To me,
well,
it doesn't.
I'm on
the
Gulf Coast. I'm on the Gulf Coast. I'm making $3 a mile.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, some people are. I mean, we had a truck. I think he called in. He said he was making over three. And then I had a guy yesterday that said he waited 2 days in Chicago and he got a load for 327 outbound from Chicago. So, I mean, it could happen. It's you got to stick to your guns.
I'm booked up for the next week at $3 a mile.
That's exactly how you do it, sir. You just book yourself up. Hey, man, thanks for calling in and safe driving.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, we have another caller on hold. Let me pick this one up here. 210, what's up? You're online.
Hey, man, how you doing? All I can think of is what he's trying to do, his end game, is right now it's all about exposure, getting his name out there, trying to make a fuss, getting people all riled up, and getting his name out there, because he evidently doesn't have a plan. And it's all about just bringing his name to the forefront of things.
Right.
And, I mean,
yeah,
my operating costs, I don't know where the fuck they come up with $1.80 a mile. Mine's $183, and that's paying me a pretty good salary. So I just don't take anything that's less than $1.83 a mile, period.
I know. It's a novel concept. Unfortunately, sometimes you got to suck it up. But normally, like, if you're getting two, you know, I mean, not that you're going to pull a load for a buck. But, you know, if you set a goal of $3 a mile and you end up, or $2 a mile, let's just say, and you end up pulling a head haul for $3 a mile, in all reality, you're still going to make your $2 a mile average if you pull a load back for a buck a mile. You know what I mean? It's not, right. not that you want to do it. You want to get close to your operating costs. You don't have that downturn in freight. But that's how people have to do it and have to maximize the profitability of their truck is, like you said, stick to your guns. Just don't take it. Attri gets their $1.82 per mile because they include megas in there. And so they include all the taxes and employer taxes for company drivers. All that stuff is included in that, including maintenance and all that stuff, which is why that rate is actually high.
Well, I pay myself an $80,000 a year salary out of that rate as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's,
yeah,
that's,
I mean, if you think about
the truck payment, everything, and my own personal salary.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when you actually
say that.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Steve. Sorry.
No,
my customer
away.
All the time. Oh, my customer I run for all the time is $3 a mile, but when I sometimes get back calls back, like you said, I'll give them a 60% or 70%. I'll run it for 70% of normal, just because I'm trying to help him out. He's helping me out get home with something on the truck, and it helps us both out. Plus, he keeps me real busy, and I run everything usually for $3 a mile for him, except for backhauls, just to help him out. The backhauls still paying me over too. So,
yeah. I mean, I feel like, you know, people just need to use their head a little bit and think about it. Thank you for calling in, sir.
Yep, there.
Mick Damon on Facebook said he supports Rick and the cause because brokers are really getting ridiculous with their profit margins. Again, we have the lack of education. Someone called me today, and I'm not trying. When I say lack of education, I firmly believe it's because you don't understand how the market works. If you think every broker is just getting ridiculous with their profit margins, that's not actually true. You know, and I guarantee there's some rate cons that he's probably gotten already where it shows the commission is probably like, I don't know, 4 or 5%. But he's not going to talk about those, you know. Chris Brown said, I think he's doing pretty good. You can't keep his name out of y'all's mouth. Well, I mean, it's stupidity. It's just like someone said, it's like watching a car crash. You know what's going to happen, but you're just going to watch anyway. That's kind of where I'm at now. You know, I got flack for not talking about it. So I figured, all right, because I talk about it now, my wife is tired of hearing about all this shit and the bad in the industry. So that's why I decided I'll make this video late. You know, I'll do it later, and I could be a little bit more opinionated and biased and all that stuff. And still, spit facts. I'm not going to make shit up. I don't make shit up. You know, if I get it wrong, I say I get it wrong. You know, I haven't. In this instance, I haven't. You know, and people called me today, and I had a conversation with people, and they were like, you know, why didn't you go after him in D.C.? Why didn't you just spill the beans about everything? And I said, because I can't. You know, I have, you know, things that I'm trying to do and grow the media brand out so I could stop on the broker side of things and just build it out. And I have to do everything with some, I guess, journalistic integrity. So I can't go out and just be, you know, bash people on YouTube like they are and just in the things they're saying. I can't do it. So today I have a video where I can plainly point out the things that are wrong with it and then make a video about it. It's not like some of these other guys. If you're looking for those kind of shows, you're going to have to go to them, you know. But the fact of the matter is that it does a disservice to the industry. All the videos and stuff that he makes, it's doing a disservice to the industry. And that's what I told him when I was there in D.C. as well. The guy personally, I don't not like him, if that makes sense. I don't like when people are when you make shit up to try to stir the pot. That's what I have a problem with, and that's what he did. And he made shit up to try to stir the pot, and then he got caught in it, but he already – I mean, the movement's going. Look what he did. He made some shit up, and he got extremely popular because of it. People paid attention to what he had to say. And to be honest, people brought attention to the protest, which is what I wanted. Because even though I'm a broker, carriers are getting shafted right now. Dollar mile loads do not pay the bills. I completely understand that. The only way to have rates come up are to reopen the country and sit your trucks and force the rates to come up. It's not broker transparency and blocking profit margins and all that stuff. That doesn't do anything in the immediate effect. The only way to have rates come up is the supply and demand argument. You know, but it just seems people don't pay attention. Jimmy Mead said, did I talk to James Hensley? Were I too scared of him? Well, first off, when you use English and you say two, you would say T-W or T-O-O. And yes, we did talk, actually. myself, him, Spectre, and Coach for about an hour, and we talked. So I think we're all on the same page now, and they understand my side of things, and I now know I understand a little bit more, and that's one of the reasons why I decided to do this video, because you're right. There isn't enough rational people out there saying the truth. You know, there aren't. You know, so another broker that watches these videos too, he asked me, should he make a video? Yes, absolutely should. I think every freight broker should start making videos and talk about real. Because I had someone call me today. I see you on hold, bud. I'll pick it up. You just got to press one when you're ready to come online. But the thing that's interesting about it is I think people don't pay attention to I don't know, man. I really don't know. If you guys want to come on, there's a couple of calls on hold right now, a bunch of you guys. You got to press one, and then I'll pick up the call. So press one, because otherwise I don't know if you're ready to talk. Let's see. No one's pressing one, so I'm not going to pick up the call. Kevin Cooley said, sorry about it's not coming up. I stutter, so a lot of this is effed up. It is effed up. I don't know what you're talking about. Hold on. All right, so now they press one. 864 number, what's up? You're on the air.
Yo, what's going on, man?
What up, bro?
Now, you're talking about the rates. The rates from when they were to present or past? Because right now, the rates are going bad now, but beforehand, it was still shitty. So,
yeah, they weren't good.
The rates are still bad across the board.
Right.
See what I'm saying? Like, I understand you saying now, like, you can't get the rates up right now. We understand that, but the beforehand is what the process of saying, okay, we still got the same ratio of rates going in 2018, 2019. It was still shitty situations going on at that point.
We didn't have the same rates. No, we didn't have. Yeah, we didn't have the same rates in 2018. I still had my trucks too. I didn't get rid of my trucks until March of 2019. Rates were good in 2018 and throughout Christmas. They started taking a dive in February 2019. Which is why I decided to get rid of my trucks at that point.
And the freight didn't go down at the beginning of 2019. It was just shitty rates. It was still freight moving at a great rate.
Right. It's cyclical. So every single, you know, in that time of the year, in the beginning of the year, freight rates always drop off. Load volumes drop off. That happens. It's cyclical. It happens every single year. Do you know what I mean? That happens every year. And maybe you guys don't see it because you're focused on just getting like the right rate and paying attention to the rate. And I see that. And that's, you know, someone asked me today, they're like, why do you make these videos? You have to repeat yourself 500 times and nobody likes you. Or you know, you just get so many people to argue with you. And I was truthful with them. And I said, it's education. Because every single one of, you know, for every single time I make a video, there is at least one person that comes in going, oh, this fucking free broker. And then they listen to it and they're like, oh. And they think, you know, maybe I'm just helping one person understand the industry. To me, making it, that's why I make these videos. You know, rates are low. Rates were low in 2019. But do you think that rates were low because every broker's like, you know what? It's time to stiff it to the carriers. Do you actually think that's how the market works?
They've been working real shitty here. They looking out for themselves.
Right.
And the quick thing is like, hey, well, as long as we can get the best out of what we can get out, forget the truck. Like, don't even matter about the truck. The truck break down and we get another truck. You know, that's the mindset they have. At the end of the day,
brokers?
Like brokers, yeah. Brokers think that way. We take all the trucks and shit them down and take all that money. How are you going to have a job? We support you. We support each other here. So without us,
right.
You have no job. See what I'm saying? Your job.
No, absolutely. But
if we stop, you have so you got to
right. And with that argument, I guess all brokers can be thankful that truckers cannot work together at all, and you guys will never be able to coordinate a big national shutdown. I also agree. You guys should all not take any loads and sit down so rates come up. I also lost my biggest my biggest customer who's shipping through the coronavirus because they started wanted to ship freight cheaper than I was willing to sell it. Because I'm a little bit different. I don't really care. Plus, I have the media side that I make money off of.
Yeah.
So I was fine with it. But I also lost my customer.
You have the mindset. You have the mindset of, like, I speak for all brokers. And that's where we have a lot of heat because you don't represent all brokers. It's like I don't represent all truckers. But the
I represent me in my I don't have the mindset that I represent all brokers because there's scumbag brokers out there. I have the mindset of education and trying to explain to people that don't necessarily understand how the broker side works. But I'm way more aligned with truckers than I am on brokers because I still would burn any broker right now that I find out that is truly price gouging, that is getting a $3 or $4 mile load and then working hard to sell an 80-cent load. Yeah, I would burn them because that's just shady. But you know, and to say I align with anybody, I really don't, because the brokers don't like me because you know I'm critical of them. You know, TQL doesn't like me either, bro. You know, what's his face says every day. You know, TQL doesn't like me. I'm the guy that wrote first about their data breach, and then I wrote the scathing piece about them laying off 700 people. They do not like me either. But the fact is I speak truth. I speak facts. I don't bend the truth, and I tell the honest truth the entire time. So, yes, if I piss people off, then I'm fine with that. Do you know why? Because they're learning something. They're learning about something. Hopefully they read the whole thing before they, you know, got pissed. But thank you for calling, man.
Yeah. All righty.
All right, bro. All right, we have this guy's next, and then I got 573. You're on. What's up, buddy?
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, man?
Hey, this is Chris from Missouri. I love your show. And
thank you, bud.
I'm just so tired of all of this. I mean,
everybody in this business,
that are complaining right now really can't run a business. That's the way I look at it. We've been in business since 1984. You have ups, you have downs. You got to be ready for this kind of stuff. 2 years ago, people were getting $4 to $5 a mile. Is that gouging in the trucking industry? I'm not ready for our rates to be set across the board for everybody.
Well, that's the only thing. That's the only thing that'll happen from this. If enough pressure is put into place, and that's what's going to happen.
That is exactly what's going to happen if they keep doing this.
Yep.
Unfortunately,
the majority of the people that are pushing for this kind of thing, I mean, the people that are pushing for this didn't experience that. I didn't. Shit, you started trucking when I was born. So just to put that in perspective, old man. But you said 1984. That's the year I was born.
We've been a broker since then and been a trucking company since then. We do.
People didn't complain about rates in 2018. They just complain now because it's not in their favor.
Well, yeah.
You know.
You know, you've got your ups and downs. There's no way anybody could have saw this coming, and it's just business. There's not enough loads out there, and if all these people in 2018 went to told their buddy about how much money they was making, and they would have bought a truck, and then his buddy told his buddy, and they bought a truck, we wouldn't be in this position right now. But everybody's buddy bought a truck at that time. So now we've got 20% more trucks than we did at that time. So everybody's kind of got to blame themselves for everything that's going on. It is. And I just wish everybody could just kind of just drop it and just try to get along and make it work out. But they're making the industry look really bad.
They are, and that's what I said too. You know, it's a shame because I think that a lot of people have a good voice. And like I said, I don't even think Santiago has. You know, I think he may be a good voice for the industry, but he can't seem to continuously tell the truth, which is the problem that I have. And if you push on something that doesn't have any immediate effect at fixing anything, yeah, we all know rates are low. So why didn't Santiago build it up and do all his lying and all that stuff to build up the presence and then say, listen, instead of focusing on the cheap freight or instead of focusing on all this stuff, let's instead focus on economic stimulus or economic assistance or financial assistance, whatever we have to do to make sure that all these small trucking companies that he's representing or says he's representing and doing all the stuff he's doing for so they could stay open. Because, you know, pushing on something that isn't going to happen for years, as he said in today's video, is going to cause all these small trucking companies that are sitting up in D.C. to close. Ultimately, they're not going
to
make any money.
All they have to focus on is saying no.
Right.
That's it. If you say no to cheap freight will not be around. That's the biggest thing. And if you can't say no to it and your buddy can't say no to it, then it will never go up. That should be their main thing, is say, focus on say no to cheap rate. And that's it.
Yeah.
If you do that, there won't be a problem.
That's very true, sir.
You
got to
blame each
other. Hey, man.
You got to blame each other for what's happening. You got to blame the trucker beside you. And not.
That's not just trucking, though. I think that's the American way. I think that's the American way. I mean, look at the news. Everyone's blaming
business.
Everybody for something else. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just business. But, you know, I do not haul something.
All right, man. Thank you for calling in, sir.
Cheap. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for calling in. Yeah. And I apologize to anyone that's listening. I'm on a delay, so there's like a really weird pause in between. So 513, I'm picking you up now. You're on the air.
Hey, what's up, man? First and foremost, love our show. Hey, I just want to give you kind of unique perspective, I think. I work for a small food manufacturing company. I used to be a freight broker. Now I'm an in-house broker for a food manufacturer. And this kind of on the topic of price gouging. So we get our produce from Mexico across the border in Texas. Literally, we have a primary who has 8 trucks, right? We pay them $3,600, 8 trucks every weekend from Texas to Dayton, right? And then the second this COVID stuff happens, rates went from average when I'm not using my primary, I'd pay 41. Now all of a sudden, oh, it's $5,400 to go that. Nope, $5,400 to get this truck go. So it's like, it's like you said, the price gouging. You only complain when it's not in your favor. Yes, we were pissed about truckers taking advantage of us in the middle of a crisis. But at the end of the day, our job is to get produce and food to the American people. So we have to suck it up, play ball, and just pay the fucking carriers, unfortunately, you know? But I think
so you're seeing an increase in rates, right? That's what you're saying?
At the time I was. Now.
Okay. So now what is it?
It's kind of like back in our favor, I feel like. Because, I mean, we're not the size of Tyson or Kraft. We only have 3 plants. One in Dayton, one in Columbus, and another off-site.
I wouldn't say too much. People will figure out who you are. It doesn't take much. The sales side of me already popped in. I'm like, wait, what's he shipping? Where is he shipping? I'll figure it out.
Yeah, you're fine.
But, it's just troubling times right now. The market is up and down and up and down, and nobody knows what to do. So everyone's just pointing fingers and saying, it's you, it's me, it's everybody else.
And I think eventually what companies are going to do are going to take this like hybrid. Like maybe Tyson will start posting their own lows to the DAT. Kind of like Uber Freight, but more they'll get in-house people to do it. Obviously,
which would be horrible.
It would also be super hard to find staff to do all that as well. But
for
smaller companies like us, it works. But anyway, I just wanted to give you that perspective and love the show, man. So I listen all
the
time.
Hey, man. Thank you. All right, cool.
But,
all right, cool, man. Thank you for watching. All right, bro. So there you go. We've got carriers that listen to the show. We've got brokers. We've got shippers. We've got CEOs. We've got people that don't even work in the industry. I've gotten all types of interest in this. Rob Hazard said organizing independent truckers is an oxymoron. Yeah. William Crawford said 513 area code TQL broker. I'm not believing this guy. He's a produce guy. He's a produce shipper, not a broker, he said. That's how we started off the call. He's not a broker. He's a shipper. I like that you guys say that. You see a 513 area code. You know how many people live in that zone? You think it's just Cincinnati? Come on, bro. Come on. Oh, you guys are kidding. You know, you're jokers. It's crazy. Clarence made a comment about the caller from 1984 saying he's been in business since 84 and still hauling freight for $1 a mile. Again, he's probably not hauling broker board freight, to be completely honest. If you've been in business for what, 35 years, almost 36 years, you probably know better at that point. I can almost guarantee that he's probably not hauling exclusive load board stuff like the majority of you guys. The guys that are super ticked off all the time about cheap freight and all that stuff, it's because you don't have direct shippers. You know, I talked to a group of guys earlier today, all YouTubers. They're pulling direct freight, and they're busy as shit. Did rates go down a little bit? Yep. But they're pulling it. They're pulling essential goods. You know, that happens. People just have to understand that you have to search for loads. And if you don't accept the load at 8 o'clock in the morning, by 9 o'clock in the morning, it's going to be a different rate. There was some video that someone made that they were offered $1,000 in the morning, which was too low. And then they got a call back at 12 o'clock and were offered $1,300, which was still too low. And then they get a call back at 2 o'clock and they were offered $1,800 and they turned it down out of spite because the broker was trying to keep too much money. Do you understand that is literally how brokers and shippers do their job? We start off low in the morning trying to make as much money as we can, and by the end of the day, if we don't have the load covered and it's a hot load, we book it, even sometimes at a loss. That's the way the industry works. I firmly believe a lot of people don't understand that. Firmly. Kevin Sudzinski, I think you guys are talking chat back in the day. William Worthington said, back in my day, we didn't need you jokers. Yeah, I mean, some people didn't need brokers, but I think brokers have been around for a minute, you know, and then you had motor carriers that actually had salespeople to go out and initiate the sale. That's another thing. You guys, you independent owner operators, unless you're hiring someone to go out and try to get you direct freight, you are your salespeople. So your job is to go out, and you should be doing that all the time. Right? As I, you know, when I do consulting and stuff like that, I tell carriers that I'm working with that they need to have a stack of business cards. And every dock you hit, look around. You're not really supposed to hit the dock that you're delivering to, but drive around. When you're pulling out, you see another warehouse, stop in there real quick. Throw in a card and say, hey, I deliver here once a week. Let me know if you have anything outbound. That's how you get customers. When I had my trucks in Jersey, because that's where my company was based out of, you know, pretty close to Santiago's neck of the woods. That's how I know that market pretty well. We used our own billable lading. So when we delivered a load, we delivered with the original billable lading and my billable lading. Why did we do that? It was free advertising. Every single pickup I went to, every single delivery I went to, or any of my trucks did. Because they would leave our billable lading and the other billable lading. And you know how many? That worked quite a bit. That worked quite a bit. We would get calls from people, and then I did the right thing. I didn't back solicit the customer. You know, if it was one of the customers we picked up or delivered to, what we did is we went in and called the broker. 9 times out of 10, the broker's like, oh, yeah, you could pull direct. It's only a partial load. We had one load. I think it was for Nolan, and they asked if it could still go through them. And I said, fine, because I checked the credit, and I was a little iffy about credit. And you know what? Nolan paid me $100 more because they were able to get more money out of the customer. So, and that's me as a carrier, not as a broker. You know, it is what it is. William Worthington said C.H. Robinson came in and swore not to take more than 10%. I mean, C.H. Robinson is kind of a whole story. You know, I wrote a big story about them a while ago for getting the $1.1 billion lawsuit for all the produce farmers that they allegedly ripped off. That story is on my website somewhere. You could look up C.H. Robinson. It will likely show up. That, I don't know. I want to dig deeper into it because, you know, C.H. Robinson started out as a produce wholesaler and then they broke into the brokerage side of things, but that's what their primary thing is. And they're getting sued by a group of farmers right now for $1 billion. And, you know, when I was reading the 90-page complaint that was filed in federal court, it was some pretty strong stuff. C.H. Robinson did come out and say it wasn't true, but – you know, I think when you have that, when your integrity is questioned that much, it does draw into question in your sense, you know, your sense. Rob Baugh said, if a broker finds out that you promote yourself on delivery, they will blacklist you. Well, that's not what I said, actually. What I said is when you're leaving and you have your own business cards, you walk around to the other warehouses that you see and hand them out. Because my drivers all used to do that, because I used to pay them a commission on everybody that they would refer, because they had business cards with their name, and it went to our central phone line. So when they call in and they'd ask for a driver, I'd be like, oh, he's out on the road. Can I help you? And then they would talk about it. DFM Data said, do I like all the legal stuff? I actually love it, to be honest. I swear, in a different life, I was a lawyer. I love looking at that stuff. That's how I find out all this stuff, because I constantly look. I have a Pacer account, and I constantly look through it. Rob Baugh said, you used to use your bill of lading. Yeah, we did, because we did regional LTL. We didn't do full truckload. So everyone had to sign off that we were using our own bill of lading as well. So every broker that we worked with. Because, again, I followed the principle of actually running my business. So when I booked the load, I had my set accessorial rates and all that. Plus, I tried to upsell my per pallet rate because I, you know, we built it like an LTL carrier. So we had pallet rates and for our trucks, and we sold those to all the brokers, those rates. They used to call us, and we didn't even have to go to load boards or anything. You know, we were about a 60-40%. We had direct freight, including brokers, about 60-40% load board because we were doing consolidation in regional, you know, LTL in New York, New Jersey, all that stuff. Now it's none of those CBD today, just beer. Believe it or not, I got flack last night. Someone sent me a message. They're like, oh, I can't show your videos. You said you take CBD. Well, no shit. I mean, there's nothing wrong with CBD. It's not illegal. So that you don't get high. It doesn't do anything. It mellows me out, and it makes it so my knees don't hurt. You know, that's it. Spec Glenn said he sells himself. That's all I got for sale is service. You take care of them, they take care of you. Absolutely. Mike Lyle said, agreed, Santiago is not a bad guy. He made some live posts, though. He made some good live posts. Although trucking representatives need a full understanding of logistics, trucks need to understand everything involved. Relationship with shippers, brokers, and independents. You are your own business. Your choice. You can hire them or work yourself. Your choice. I mean, that's pretty simple. That's pretty straightforward. That's the best thing, you know. Anyone that's out there and runs their own trucking company is an owner-operator. You are a business owner. So you have the same responsibilities as any other business owner, which is knowing your bottom line, which is getting customers, is not relying on the spot market load board, because otherwise you put yourself into situations like this, or you put yourself into the downturn of freight, you know, taking a dive. You know, I don't think people realize that as much. You know, you guys are a business. You're fully able. I mean, look at it. Look at all the videos we see every day of truckers in their trucks, you know, making videos. I sit and I make videos in gym clothes, essentially, shorts and T-shirts. That's what I work in. That's pretty much what I wear all the time anyway. You know, but when I drove truck and when I had my drivers, everyone wore the same thing. We had dark khaki shorts and we had polos. You know, the regular polos, or we had jackets. Everyone wore the same thing. Why? Because it was presentable. They could tell us. They could identify us from far away if it needed to. Our trucks all had the same thing. Everyone looked the same way. Email address is live@freightbrokerlive.com. Rob Baugh said, when I used to help cars, the company I worked for used to give kickbacks to shipping managers at the dealerships. I mean, people have done far worse. You know, that's the thing. Is you guys got to market yourself as independent owner operators and all that stuff. You guys got to learn to do it. You are, and I will say this a million. I agree with everyone that says they're getting robbed right now, and everyone is getting robbed. And you're not necessarily getting robbed by brokers. You're getting robbed by the industry. Rates are low, even namely because supply and demand, and the fact that some carriers don't have any self-worth. And so they're taking loads that are far below their operating costs, which is keeping rates low. That's the way supply and demand work. You know, rates are going to come up until demand is increased. You know, and that's why volume, we're starting to see, according to DAT now, we're starting to see volume starting to come up now, but rates are slow because people are still taking this cheap freight. Plus, we had a huge overabundance of capacity on the market right now. Josh Markin said, presentation is your biggest asset. That's my point with the people in D.C. I agree with you, too. You know, there's other people that are out there now that are, you know, they're wearing the old, like, I don't know what you would call them, the trucker, not truckers. They're wearing the, like, maintenance. I don't know what you call them. They're wearing at least polos, some of them. But you still got the one-off tank tops and all that stuff. But if you're sitting there trying to represent an industry, you know, be presentable. That's the one thing that you got to give Santiago. He looked presentable as fuck when he was up there. He didn't look like a truck driver. You know, he was wearing a blazer and a white button up. You know, he looked professional. You saw that in the video. The problem is just like I said, you just have to be very, I mean, he did a good job building it up. I just wish he did it the right way. Yeah. Rob Hazard, 88,300 company drivers it wasn't just company drivers. It was transportation workers. You know, and I did the same thing, but I put what did I say? I forgot what my title was, but I said, you know, truckers massacre or something like that, whatever, to get people to read the article. But yeah, 88,300 people, 300 transportation workers. That includes dock workers and everybody that's in that sector. 88,300 company employees lost their job last month in the trucking industry. And the craziest part, that doesn't take into account private fleets because they're classified different. Walmart, for example, is classified as retail. Their drivers, their CDL drivers, the biggest private fleet in the United States are classified as retail. I'd be very curious if some of these big food service companies that have thousands and thousands and thousands of drivers and assets, you know, because we all know they were in the news when this shit first started and they had to switch to hauling general freight and because they weren't, no one was ordering like Cisco and all those other companies. Cisco and what's the other one? I don't know. There's another one out there too. I don't know about their layoffs, if they even had any. I have no idea. But I don't think they would be classified in the trucking industry either, because they are direct. They're private fleet. So that's pretty insane. And you want to think as everyone's. This is the thing too. You know, if you want to think about what's going on now behind the scenes. You know, because we know what's going on in D.C. We see the videos Rick makes and Janet makes and Jeremy makes and Sean makes. Oh, whatever. Sean's videos are deleted shortly after he makes them. But we see all the videos everyone's making about this. But do you guys know what's really going on in the back end? You know, Uber releasing their bidding functionality. Uber now allowing CDL drivers to lease on to a partner trucking, virtual trucking company. Just adding more capacity to the industry. Amazon now offering brokerage in 48 states. They're offering brokerage in 48 states. You guys know the Relay app, anyone that works it. You're not really – you get lucky depending on which route you're running. But the majority of people that I've talked to aren't getting, you know, even close to even spot market, which is pretty bad. If you guys really want to – and I'm a proponent of freight tech, so, you know, this is – it's hard for me to say. But, yeah, look at what's going on. You got J.B. Hunt 360. Where you could bid against each other, and it further drives down the rate. And you end up not getting mad at the broker at that time. You get mad, and you guys post screenshots all the time of it. All carriers do all the time. Look what some carrier did. Know your worth. And you guys are bidding against. There was one that posted one the other day. It's like, can you believe a carrier took it for $300? Or something like that. It was really a really low amount, like $1 a mile. But then you see all the other bids. And you know, the guy missed it by $600. It said you were underbid by $600. But the problem with that is his bid was only at like $1.40 a mile. So he was still undervaluing himself because he was in a bidding war with somebody else. So his lowest bid, the other guy just said F it and went and grabbed the load for cheap. But that's going on. You got Convoy doing the same thing. Uber is now a bidding platform as well. And then you have all these other digital freight marketplaces that are coming out. What do you think actually happens? What do you think they're doing it for? A lot of people, someone called into the earlier show and he's like, what are you going to do when you're out of a job because of these freight tech companies? I'm like, I mean, the broker industry is not really going to be out of a job. The carrier sales side, all the carrier sales guys, they may be out of a little bit because that will be automated by tech, but the relationships, you can't automate those as much as people want to say. And the people, the drivers that say you can automate that don't understand the industry. And it's the same thing I told the guy that called in earlier, because you clearly don't understand the relationship side of things. When shit happens, there has to be an actual person there to handle it. I think a lot of people need to just sit and pay attention to what's actually going on. You guys, everyone's just ranting and raving about cheap freight and broker transparency and all that. Well, all these big companies are just getting bigger. They're all getting bigger. I can almost guarantee to you, these big companies that you love to hate, their freight volumes reached all-time highs in Q1. I know Uber did. They said it. I know another big, big, big private company did because someone told me. I know the majority of all these public freight brokers, they did. Revenue went down, sure, but their volume went up. They're just grabbing more and more of the market. But everyone wants to focus on cheap freight. Everyone wants to focus on bad brokers and price gouging instead of ways to stay afloat and ways to pay attention to what's actually going on in the industry. It's perplexing to me. Call in line is 914-803-4008. Let me play a commercial real quick and get a drink, and I will be right back. Let me play the GOAT commercial.
I'm simply my man. Better than all the rest. Yeah, better than anyone. I'm the
best. What's a singing goat have to do with factoring? Nothing. OTR Capital. Better than the rest. I really love that video. I really do. Took me about 5 minutes to make. Mike Lyle said, like your work, Steve. I'm out to have my own beer. Keep it up. Definitely hard to be last. Yeah, it's all right. One broker just sent me a screenshot. I can't really show it on the screen because it's not working, but he sent me a screenshot, and it shows him moving a load for $1,300, and then there's a couple of accessorial fees, and his total income, or his total income on the billed load was $1,928.41, and his total expenditures, i.e. what he paid the carrier, was $1,820, so he made $100, $108.41, and he made 5.62%. You guys got to pay attention. That's the real. That's what brokers are actually making. Not all the time. I guarantee that guy, he's got another invoice that says he made 30%. Maybe him, maybe even 40%. He's an ass. But I mean, it happens. You know, people are able to make money. Like my average commission was 3.9%. That's what it worked out to. And I still made, you know, I still moved $250,000 a month in freight revenue, you know? So yeah, a lot of people just think brokers are making all this money, but they don't understand that side of the business. And when you push to regulate the brokerage industry, then you're just asking for trouble. Like some of the old timers that have been doing this for a long time say, that's why you're not going to find any older drivers that are okay with broker transfer, or, you know, regulations, increased regulations. You don't find them. You know why? Because they've already been through it. They don't want to deal with it. William Crawford said, I've kept my debt small, my company small, and while I'm driving a 24-year-old truck, I'm doing okay. It's not glamorous, but it works. I'd rather have an old truck than the new one myself. I had one of those, oh, God, what was it, Freightliner Columbia, you know, with an automatic transmission. We leased that sucker, and I flew a driver down to Atlanta to pick it up, and he got maybe halfway up, and then it started doing all this stuff. Jeffrey Leighton said, listen, one thing I know, brokers are burning files and throwing paper to the window. Yeah, no. No, they're not. For one, no one keeps paper documents anymore. It's all built in your TMS system, and no one has anything to hide. Because in all reality, there's no price gouging. There's no legal precedent to actually go after anyone for. So even if you have a broker that's saying, you know, giving the big middle finger to every single carrier he books a load with, it doesn't matter because there's nothing that could be done to the guy legally. Principally, yeah, I mean, That will hurt. I mean, if Santiago gets some real proof of something actually happening and puts it out there, it'll hurt. But the problem is he's putting fake proof out there, which is still hurting good companies or some. Or yeah, it is what it is. But nobody's out there burning files and throwing paper. I can almost guarantee that. Actually, I know that for 100%. I don't think any brokers are actually worried about opening up their books. Because, again, there's no legal recourse to do anything. No one's price gouging because they're selling loads at the market rate. It's the same thing as real estate, just like the TIA said. The market sets the price on the house. If you accept it, you accept it. And people shouldn't accept it. Mike Weldon said, unless you signed your right away to see the agreement. I agree, too. You know, but the only time it comes up is when you have a dispute over rates like this. This is it. This is the only time. It's not a big thing that actually cares. Still a sure thing. What's the proof that Santiago is putting fake shit out there? Common sense. And watch the video. I mean, today he holds up a TQL driver information sheet and says that the kid, and he's looking at it. That's the thing that's mind blowing to me. He's looking at the driver information sheet and saying this carrier got paid this much. Except the driver information sheet, TQL's driver information sheet, do not have Raycon. Going further, the TQL one or the Trinity one, I'll bite whoever that was, Dillisher. So the TQL or the Trinity one, this time I know it was fake because I was watching the video and I'm like, wait, what? TQL or Trinity, they're a good company. In my head, they're a good company. I have no problem with them at all. Then made me think about it. So I started asking around. I started talking to people that I know, people that would have information, found out there are no employees named Angela in Texas that work for that company. And that kind of stirred the pot a little bit more. And I'm like, what the hell? And I kind of came to myself. Well, I made a couple of videos and I'm like, you know, I don't think it's real. I don't think it's real. I can't. It is. I have a good feeling, you know, that it's not real. And then the day before I drive up to D.C., there's an article by Transportation Nation. And it says that he changed her name to protect her. But remember, in the video, he said it's her real name. But he said he gave an interview and he said he changed her name. Which actually made me go back and watch the video. Because he starts off, he's like, I'm going to talk to Angela. She's an agent for this company, blah, blah, blah. Then he dials her up. And then, do you know how she answered the phone? She answered the phone. This is Angela. So you know what that means? That they talked previous to the interview and said, hey, you have to use a fake name. And if you talk previous about something and you use a fake name, how is anything that you say, how can it be taken seriously? Because he said he had to use her name to vet her and to make the to so it stuck, so it was real. It wasn't real. And then if that wasn't enough, when I went to D.C. and I asked him about it, I talked about it and I talked to him about it. And I asked him point blank. And I said, I have some information that could prove this is fake. And I said, are you sure you want to go here when he was saying the videos were real? And you see it in the video. And I said, are you sure you want to go here? Are you sure you want to go here? And I said it very stern. He looked at me. He knew I knew at that point. And he said, no, Angela worked for TQL. It's on the video. It's on the interview I did. And I'll post that to YouTube tomorrow because people seem to not be able to find it on my Facebook page. It's there, though. Is wrong. David Quackenbaum said, yeah, he can only hide so many identities. That's what he said in his video with Goofball, the other guy, the crazy dude there. He's not crazy, but he's just, yeah, it's silly. Rob Baugh said he literally can't identify the problem. That's why there's no solution in place. Yep. Reader 85 said, have I seen coaches talking about going to Washington? I talked to all of them this morning. Like I said, I talked to, the guy, Spector, Hensley, and Coach. You know, we talked for a long time. Those dudes are good and they care about the industry and they have a massive following. Can you imagine anyone that's one of their fans? Can you imagine if they did a call out and said, you know what? These guys up here don't represent me. We need our trucks to go. That protest or display would be done because those three guys have a huge following. Every single time they go live, they have hundreds of people watching them. Even Hensley. I mean, and it's Hensley. Come on. But he's got hundreds of people watching his videos. And just to talk about Freddie Broker, meathead steroid. Well, actually, he didn't. Spectre was the one who said that to me. But, you know, it's funny. But I tell you what, I have a new respect for all three of them. Coach, I always had respect for. Spectre, I didn't really hear of his videos until yesterday. Hensley, you know, we've gone back and forth a couple of times before. You know, but I'm a nice guy. I sent him $100 when he had a stroke. You know, I don't necessarily think he's a bad guy. He's got his thing that he does, his shtick that he does for his show, and, you know, we'll go. But, you know, they mentioned it. You know, Spectre, man, that dude is passionate, and he cares about this industry more than a lot of people, you know, that I've met. And he cares, and he knows a lot of people in the industry, too. And he said it. He was so mad when I was talking about it. Because originally they just thought, hey, I'm some guy that just makes videos and doesn't actually care about the industry and drove all the way up to D.C. just to, like, cover for Rick or something like that because I didn't out him fully. I only outed him a little bit. And so it was going back and forth. And then I think they realized, okay, I do care. And not only that, I know a shit ton about the industry and a shit ton about how to get people to actually pay attention to what we're talking about. And it was good. It was good. They're good people. I like them. Reader said he has over 400 people watching and he's talking about it now. I really hope so. Mick Damon said that's a really shitty comment to tell people what you did for someone when they were down. I don't know why. Why is that? It was a public video. And it was funny because everyone was doing $5 or $10. And I said, you know what? I'm a freight broker. You guys hate freight brokers. So I gave 100. Why? Because I could. Nico Sorto said, do you make more money making Facebook video or broker? Well, I haven't brokered a load in 3 weeks. And I don't make any money on Facebook, to be honest. I don't make any money on Facebook. So, and I don't really make a lot off YouTube either. So I have the news site. That's where the majority of it comes from, advertising and ads and things like that and sponsorships. And I do a lot of consulting and things like that. That's how I end up making it. Because even though the videos like these are a little bit laid back, like I've been in this industry for a long time and I'm a business guy and a sales guy. So even though sometimes like in the past, like the people that are watching my videos for a long time, you guys know what I'm talking about. But, you know, lately I've just been focused on this bad shit, you know, the cheap freight, the coronavirus pandemic and all that stuff. And it's kind of taken away from the fact that this is an awesome industry and I love this industry and I want people to work in it and be happy you know, just work in it. Someone said, Mike Weldon said, no shit. Are brokers in DC? Hell no. They're making a killing. Yeah. Be nice if more people were there. I can't tell if you guys are talking to each other. David Quackabomb said, I wonder why Rick left DC. I have no idea. I think he left because he had personal stuff he had to deal with. You know, he didn't leave because of my question. And he didn't leave because he felt like his time was done. I think he had stuff he had to do. I think that's you know, I know he's a dad. He's got a business. He's got whatever he's got going on. So I don't fault anyone from leaving. If he leaves, he leaves. Sean Smith said they're jumping in their Mercedes going to D.C. to protest. It's funny because I've had a couple of brokers be like, hey, you want to go protest D.C.? We'll jump in our Beamers and Jaguars and Porsches. Not really. That'd be funny, though. Those people, you know what, maybe it's just different. You know, we're not getting hammered right now. And we didn't, and all the brokers are you know, saying they were getting hammered in 2018 either. That's not true either. I was brokering. I was a full-time firefighter, but I was brokering and I ran trucks in 2018 for the better part of 2018, right? This is 2020. No, I had just left the fire department. So I was a full-time broker and I had my own trucks. So, you know, at that time, I was still brokering. I was making money. Didn't make as much, you know, because, you know, rates were a little. Well, I still did, actually. I still made the same amount because I make a little bit. Banco codes, a casual office, talking to a bunch of people and drinking beer. Why not, Steve? Why not? I don't know what you're talking about. Sean Smith said, nah, yeah, you guys are going back and forth. That's the problem with the Facebook comments. I don't have it open on the other screen because it was all lagging. Let me scroll down here. Yeah, I don't know. You guys are talking about something else, I think. All right, well, I'm going to play this one little commercial, and then I'll wrap it up.
Want to give your business the edge and get the most used load board app in the industry? As a DAT load board subscriber, you'll find freight faster and easier, all from the palm of your hand. Plus, you get the best pricing info available, so you get the best rate in every negotiation. Simply log in using your DAT username and password to get access to easy-to-use tools you can't find anywhere else. Get the app on the Google Play or Apple App Store today.
I like my new commercials, man. I like them. Clarence Vist said he left when Donald sent out a bag of red hats. I think he left before that, actually. I did, too. I was pissed off. I wanted a red hat. They were red and blue. You know, he handed out two different types of hats, red and blue hats. But he gave them out after. And then he tweeted, he gave them out at like 9 o'clock, and then he tweeted at like, I don't know, 10:51. Thank you, truckers. Just like he did today. Lad said, I could see brokers going to a counter-protest and Donald J. Trump looking out to Pennsylvania Avenue and asking, what are all those BMWs, Audis, Mercedes, and Jaguars doing out here? He would actually probably come out of the White House, right? He'd be like, oh, those are my guys. No, I'm just kidding. Mike Weldon said, sir, this is common sense. There are no brokers in D.C. They are making a killing. Otherwise, they would support shipping rates with carriers. Brokers aren't going to D.C. because you have a bunch of people that are bashing brokers. I went to D.C. and I'm a broker. So go figure that one out. Josh Market said, you try to support them and they treat you like crap. That's true. Dual Mord said, what are the perks of using DAT? I use internet truck stop. What are the differences between them? I have no idea. There's a whole pile of differences, and I don't feel like getting into it. It's late. Anyone that's interested in DAT, send me a message, and I'll give you a free 30-day trial to Trucker's Edge. And if you're a broker, I'll have the login for that next week probably. Laz said, what equipment do you have? Because that is true. Truck stop is better typically for flatbed loads. I've had success on both. Me as a carrier, I wouldn't run with both, or I wouldn't run without both. It doesn't matter whether you're having flatbed or van, because cheaper carriers will opt, or cheaper brokers sometimes, will opt to use truck stop just because it's a little bit cheaper than DAT, although the prices are starting to level out. But so sometimes you have loads, like for me as a broker, we post our loads there. On both of those load boards, we have our own internal booking out marketplace now. Yep, we're doing that. And then we post out to like 50 other load boards as well. You know, those little free load boards that are out there. But they're on delays and all that stuff. What I suggest is everybody, if you can afford it, and not now, you know, probably no one should be spending any money right now if you can avoid it. But if you run flatbed, you'd be better off if you're running on a tight budget. You should use truck stop if you're on a budget. Trucker's Edge is very good, and they're one of my sponsors, and they're going to get pissed at me for saying that. But there's more flatbed loads, because I think a lot of the brokers that don't necessarily want to pay a lot of money, they don't use DAT. That's like the creme de la creme of load boards, and it's not as laggy. It's not as down as truck stop. That has a better uptime ratio, I think. And then Trucker Tools. Well, don't even get me started on Trucker Tools. I wouldn't use Trucker Tools if you paid me with a $100 bill. Or maybe a $1,500 bill or invoice. Yeah, I wouldn't use Trucker Tools. But it's a good app. I can't front it. You know, it is a good app. I'm whatever. Don't like it much anymore. The business, a type of business person I like. And again, integrity and honesty and all that stuff. That's kind of what I go for in terms of anybody in the industry, not just, you know, guys that make videos online. With that said, guys, I'm going to wrap this up. Chris Lewis, last comment of the day, brokers not in D.C. because they're trying to move freight because volume is down. That is true. You know, even though volume is down, because volume is down, brokers' volume is down as well. So you guys got to remember that. Not that it's any consolation, but brokers, too, that could be one of the reasons why the profit margins for certain brokers have went up a little bit, because they may have gone up a little bit because brokers are seeing a reduction in freight volume. So they are having to make more money to pay for, you know, and keep their employees employed. Is it a good strategy? I mean, unless you're in their shoes, you can't really judge it. And that sucks, but it's true. Dillinger said, you said shit going on. I understand prices are down east to west, but some brokers are the worst. 100% double brokers. They literally cancel load because someone lowballed. Again, all right. So do I need to do an explanation of double brokering? Do you understand, Dillinger Singh, what double brokering is? And you do understand how there's really no way that a broker can double broker? You know, it's literally impossible for a broker to double broker a load. Because only a carrier can double broker a load. When a broker books another load from a broker, it's called co-brokering. And it's completely legal. Double brokering, however, when a carrier books a load from a broker as a carrier and then assigns it to another carrier without being a broker, That is double brokering. It's a whole different thing. A lot of people get them confused. But one is illegal, one is not. So, you know, it just happens. But so hopefully you understand that now. So I explained it. And you're right. Yeah, there are. You have big companies like Landstar and some of the other ones that's what they thrive off of. They go on the load board, they book the load, and then they just repost it right out. You'll have that. But it is what it is. Delisher's thing said, oh shit, that's what I meant. Co-brokering is trash. I mean, I would be inclined to agree with you. You know, there's been very few times, a couple of times that I have, I've worked with brokers in co-brokered loads, meaning that because I have a much bigger reach and I'm a much better sales, a carrier sales guy. You know what I mean? And we're a bigger company. So if we had a carrier that wouldn't get set up with them because they didn't have QuickPay or something set up, they would just put it through us because we're set up with everybody. We've been around for, you know, before I was born, you know, so it's a big company. Kevin Power said, as a broker, I do not agree either. A broker should never need another broker. Again, there's certain circumstances. Like, think about all these brokers that don't necessarily do LTL, but use an LTL broker. That's co-brokering every single load, you know, or a forwarder. A forwarder is technically able to move their own freight as well here in domestically. They have the license to do so if they're licensed as a forwarder in the United States, but they give that load to brokers. There's still commissions coming off of the load before it hits the market. Ultimately, the responsibility of profitability lies with the carrier. Don't take a load unless you make money. That's it. And if you do that, then rates are going to come up. That's all I'm saying. Guys, with that said, I'm going to end this shit. I'm not going to have any videos unless we have some major breaking news. Tomorrow is the first association meeting for the North American Association of Transportation Service Providers. It is a new trucking and logistics organization, nonprofit that I've started and that hopefully will get a bunch of people. I'm going to type it in the chat. You're welcome to check it out. Anyone that wants to sit in the meeting and see what we're going to talk about. It's going to be comprised of carriers, brokers, hopefully factoring companies, insurance companies, everybody. People that want to affect change in the industry from the ground up and protect truckers. That's the biggest, you know, thing. That's what it's about because none of us are in business unless it's truckers. But you're welcome to go to that site. You can either sign up to become a member or you could just fill out the thing to become a subscriber and I'll send out an invitation tomorrow. I've already sent it out to the members, but I'll send it out again tomorrow. So people are welcome to join and, or just to sit in for the 3 o'clock meeting tomorrow and listen to, you know, and brainstorm and figure out a plan of attack and try to affect some change in this damn industry. Anyway, guys, have a good day. See you later.